Welcome back to the ninth and last lesson of our theme Pope Francis and Rosmini. And we talked now for some video lessons about the relationship between faith and reason. And we saw how, thanks to Rosmini, we can have a more deeper reflection on the affirmations of Pope Francis. And distinguishing in Pope Francis about our relationship to realities. Our relationship to real realities, we know, our relationship to the absolute reality of God is a relationship where we don't deal with abstract truths. But this does not mean that in our knowledge we would not have any absolute dimension. Our knowledge is absolute, is an absolute light. It has an absolute horizon. But we never have the possession of this absolute horizon. We only have a hermeneutics which sees all the reality in absolute light of knowledge or in absolute light of faith, which is no concurrence in evidency, but which is a distinction about theoretical knowledge and about practical affirmation, existential affirmation of absolute being beyond the absoluteness of knowledge. And this is the affirmation, the existential affirmation of faith. And this idea that God is so above of all, why we can in the same time affirm the absoluteness of the light of reason, and so the possibility to dialogue with others, because only if we are all human mankind in the same horizon of absolute horizon of the truth of our reason, which is the a priori and not the material realization of our knowledge. But only if we are all in the same horizon, a dialogue in this horizon can have a place. But in this horizon, which is in the knowledge, the absolute horizon, the absolute abstract horizon of our knowledge, which is the idea, in God is our real being, sons of daughters of God. We are there in the world. Being in the idea and being in the world are not two concurrential realities. Are two realities which one is in the other. The idea is in the world, because our knowledge, the absoluteness of our knowledge, is only an imagine of the reality of God, who is always beyond. But the word is also in the idea. God is also in the word. The greatest of all, the greatest which is greater than the greatest, is the content of the tiniest. And so we read in the answer of Francis to Scalfari in his letter to non-believers, we read the sentence, given the premise, and this is fundamental, that the mercy of God is limitless for those who turn to him with a sincere and contrite heart, the issue for the unbeliever lies in obeying his or her conscience. There is sin even for those who have no faith when conscience is not followed. So we have in the conscience of human being, which is not only theoretical consciousness, but now which is existential conscious. In the existential conscious, the situation of every human being in the world, of every human being in the affirmation of the absolute first, of the theosophical first, of the absolute being of God. And because every person is now in the absolute horizon, which is not only horizon of his absolute and abstract knowledge, but which is the real and existential horizon, because we all are sons and daughters of the same Creator, the conscious, also the moral conscious of person, acquire a participation on this absolute dimension. This would not be that the free will of person is sanctified, is per se sanctified. Not the free will, but the conscience. And conscience is diverse from free will. conscience is diverse from free will. Conscience is, in this sense, and we don't have the time to go into the depth on a moral reflection of it, but in the sense we said before, and in the dynamics of our explanations, we can now define the conscience as the existential situation of every human being, not only the theoretical, not only the abstract situation, the situation in the idea, but the existential situation of every human being in God. And so we have to have a respect for every human being, said Pope Francis. And because he has this respect, because he is applying, as we said in one of the first lessons of this video, of this course on Pope Francis and Rosmini, because of that, Pope Francis is now applicating the dimension of person, which was the leading dimension of the social doctrine of Church, now also to all Christians, and he is affirming the liberty of conscience, the liberty of religion, the fundamental liberty rights of persons, of everyone. And this respect he is paying also to the same Christians. And this for him is not a sense to say, do what you want. No, become aware, become consciousness that you are son and daughter of God. This is a moral consciousness. This is a moral definition of liberty. And where do we find a moral consciousness, a moral definition of liberty in modernity than not in Rosmini? And we read here in the letter to non-believer of Pope Francis, listening to and obeying conscience means deciding in the face of what is understood to be good or evil. It is on the basis of this choice that the goodness or evil for our action is determined. And now, if he is now saying that we are in the horizon of good and evil and not directly of God, yeah, of course we're directly in the face also of God in our consciousness. But in our moral conscience, as in our theoretical consciousness, this absolute is translated in the distinction about false and truth. In our moral conscience, this is translated in the distinction about good and evil. And so we could now translate all our discourse we had about the relationship between the absolute being, absolute real being of God, and the absolute dimension of our consciousness. We could also translate it to the moral sphere, but we don't have the time for it. And instead of that, we pass now to another consequence of this reasoning of Pope Francis. A consequence is that now the self-revelation of God, the revelation of God, the very central theme of Christianity, the beginning of our faith, the basis of our faith, God is revealing himself to us, now is not a theoretical revelation. It is not a revelation of theoretical sentences. It is not an epistemological revelation. It is a personal revelation. It is a self-revelation of God in its personality. God light comes to us through the account of his self-revelation and thus becomes capable of illuminating our passage through time by recalling his gifts and demonstrating how he fulfills his promise. The history of God, of Jesus, is the complete manifestation of God's reliability. And so on. We see in the encyclical Lumen Fidei very, very many affirmations for the consequence that in the differentiation of the two lights, of the absolute dimension of reason and of the absolute real being God, also the revelation aspect, that the revelation, if we want to say it in this way, of absolute knowledge, no, are our truths, are the capacity of us, is our intellectus agens, no, if we want to say it in this way, is our intellectus agens, is the capacity to know the truth, in every single knowledge we have. This is no automatism. We can fail in that. But it is the capacity to have that. It is the capacity to realize that. And this is on the religious side now, the revelation of God, the personal, the real revelation, the revelation, Rosmini says, of the real light, of real being. The real being is giving itself to us in the supernatural revelation. So the supernatural revelation is not a revelation in concurrence of that what we can call a theoretical revelation, a revelation of truth. And it is not the same as the revelation of truth. And therefore, religious revelation, revelation of Christianity, revelation of God, of Himself, is not a revelation of truth. This would be a confusion between the two lights. It would be a confusion about the absolute horizon of our knowledge and the absolute personal being of God itself. And the supernatural anthropology of Rosmini is the theoretical treatise on that aspect. And I think that many quotations of the supernatural anthropology of Rosmini would be very, very parallel and would be a good explanation, would be a good reflection of that what we are reading in the encyclical Lumen Fidei. Rosmini here is evidently, very evidently distinguishing between a real action of the real being God and an ideal knowledge, which is every time the differentiation between ideal and real, between idea and word. For example, he says in the supernatural anthropology, all those things are mysterious of faith, which for their full understanding would require the perception or positive cognition of the divine nature. We have positive cognitions only of that what we have perceptions about. We have positive cognitions of real beings. We have positive cognitions of real beings and their abstractions. We have no positive cognition of the being, the real being of God, of the absolute dimension of real being of God. We can never fully understand the mode in which creation has been produced by the Creator, said Rosmini. This is one consequence. We can never fully understand creation. The mode in which the Trinity of persons is united with the oneness of subsistence of God, the mystery of divine Trinity. The mode in which the divinity is united with the humanity in Christ. We cannot understand that. The mystery of the Christological dogma. Regarding these things, one may indeed meditate and may say many beautiful, true, and sublime things, but if we examine this well, we shall find that these are always negative concepts, namely composed of universal ideas, but never of specific and positive ideas. So we cannot have this perception of the absolute. We can theoretically, abstractly know that there has to exist an absolute being, but this is only a result of reflection. This is no positive perception. This is no positive knowledge in itself. And this positive knowledge is that what derives then from divine revelation. But divine revelation is not the revelation of these sentences as epistemological knowledge. It is the real self-revelation of God. It is a sort of substitution of the impossibility to really perceive God, to perceive God positively, to perceive God with our senses. And therefore, Rosmini says, the real being which man in its supernatural state perceives is not therefore limited, but yet it is determined by his own subsistence. It is not possible, but yet it is universal inasmuch as it is the totality of being. It is not initial, but it is the contrary, it is complete. This complete and real being is God Himself, who shows Himself to this world only, as it were under a veil, and only in the other world and in heaven, is he seen unveiled in his completeness. It is a complete understanding, not an initial one. We can say it is a concrete, but not an abstract one. It is universal, it is a totality. It is not only a possible knowledge. It has these characteristics of absolute real knowledge, but in its essence it is no real perception. This is the type of the supernatural knowledge, of the knowledge based on the positive revelation of God to us. And this positive revelation of God to us, it is divided in an exterior and an internal revelation. The external revelation, obviously, is the incarnation, is that what the Bible tells us. But the internal revelation is, as Rosmini said, is a result of divine grace, of real divine action, which is the grace. And the real divine action, which is not positively perceived, but it is a real action. And this real action makes in us that we have an internal, not a real perception, an eternal perception of a total being, of a total being which is not simply an initial knowledge. This being is God himself, who shows himself under a veil, not unveiled, not really. We cannot perceive him positively. And I think that Rosmini also here has a very clear distinction. The real being which man in his supernatural state perceives, it's not therefore limited, but yet it is determined by his own substance. It is not limited. It is determined. It is determined like the definition of the absolute being, of the real being. Since it is real, it is determined, but it is not limited, because only the real beings we are perceiving are in the same time limited and determined. Determined but not limited is the absolute being. It is not possible, but it is universal. It is the totality of being. So we have in us the revelation, but with will, the relation with will of absolute total being, of a determined being, but which it is not limited. And so we cannot see it in its reality. Rosmini here is very, very clear. And I think applicating that to the distinction that Pope Francis does and has, we have a criterion to read Pope Francis deeplier. And for Rosmini, and this is the last point of our interpretation, for Rosmini, this real integration is very important, also if we have just absolute knowledge. We know that for the neo-scholastics, they had to define our natural knowledge as perfect, as limited and perfect, not absolute in this sense and perfect, as limited and perfect. Because otherwise, if there was lacking something to man, God would be forced to reveal himself. Because otherwise, something would be lacking to human nature. Human nature, in its lack, would constrain God to reveal himself. Human nature would force God to reveal himself. This is an interpretation which has the opportunity to affirm the gratefulness of grace. But it has a problem. It has a problem that it conceives the reality of God, the reality of being, the absolute real being, the revelation and the knowledge of human man on two levels. The one does not does not come together with the other. Faith and reason are definitively separated, the one from the other. Rosmini here has another approach, and he said, if we don't think human knowledge in its absolute way, we don't think really in an absolute way of human being in themselves. We don't really think in an absolute way of the persons. We don't think in a real absolute way on the persons who are imagined of God. And if we don't think in an absolute way of the imagined of God, we don't think in an absolute way of God himself. So, why, when man has absolute knowledge, why this absolute knowledge, on the other hand, has the grace? Theoretically, it would not be complete. Theoretically, an ideal being, said Rosmini, without reality, without absolute real being, would not subsist in itself. We would have an initial knowledge, we would have an abstract knowledge, we would have the horizon, the absolute horizon of all our initial and abstract knowledge, but we could not explain and understand where this horizon is founded in itself. This is the one thing. This is the one thing. But also, who does not believe in God has the possibility to absolute knowledge. So, God is not functionalized to human knowledge. The idea of being, also if it is divine, also if it requires God, in human knowledge, it is standing in itself. It is founding human knowledge in itself, without making it depending from the knowledge of absolute being. This is the one hand. But on the other hand, Rosmini says too that only in theoretical knowledge, only in abstracting, in abstract being, human nature is not in itself. We does not affirm human nature. We does not bring human nature to its fulfillment. And this fulfillment is not only a fulfillment by grace, not only a fulfillment because we believe in eternal life, but it is a fulfillment of human nature as it is. And the fulfillment of human nature as it is does not require only absolute knowledge. It does require, says Rosmini, wisdom. It does require, together with absolute knowledge, also, in a certain sense, a realizing of human being in the horizon of absolute knowledge. Absolute knowledge has to be also affirmed by all the human nature in itself. It has to transform human nature in the sense of wisdom. And so Rosmini is affirming, in the introduction to philosophy, the idea is an empty form. It would remain empty. It's an empty form, as I said. It contains not the fullness of being, but an outline of it. It offers us only the shadow of perfect being. The idea, because it does not contain perfect being within itself, does not offer it to mankind. But the Word, who is supernatural light and fullness of being, contains the fullness of that being, of which a pale sketch is visible in the idea. The fact is that being presents itself to us in a threefold form, and now Rosmini here is affirming what does happen in the relation. It is presenting in a threefold form, and in our real life, it is presenting to us in absolute knowledge, idea of being, in real perception and in morality. And then in self-revelation of God, God is presenting, revelating himself in the absoluteness of the reality of the three forms, in absolute being, in the Word and in the Spirit. But what's meaning here is concentrating, as we said, on the human being. So we have the fact that being is presented in a threefold form, as reality, as idea, as energy. Each of these forms reduces to infinite being as to its final term of actuation, as though human beings in some divine dream pursue the infinite reality which they do not find in nature. This is, no, the remembrance the fact that all the being, and not only knowledge, all the being, also moral being and real being, together with absolute knowledge, with ideal being, all together is the remembrance of God. And here is the criticism and the difference of between Rosmini and Fichte. Not only absolute knowledge is the idea of God, the being in itself, of which absolute knowledge is one part, but real life of the subject and moral life, there are another parts. And we have to get to think together all these three dimensions to have an absolute idea of what is human being, of what is reality of human being. And this reality of human being, it has not only an insight, has not only an idea, has not only image of the absolute being in the idea. In all the three forms together, and so human being is living, as said Rosmini, in some divine dream. As Fichte said, no, absolute knowledge is the image of God. Rosmini says the three forms of being together is something of the divine being, of the divine dream. As we are really living in the three forms, we are living in a sort of living in God, in a divine dream. However, they clearly realized that if there were some infinite reality with all corresponding attributes, it would have to be infinite being itself. They pursue something infinitely knowable, which exists only potentiality in the idea. But they also realize that if an object which is intrinsically intelligible were really and actually infinite with all the corresponding attributes, it too could only be infinite being. Finally, they pursue the infinite love, which in them is merely an endlessly disappointed capacity to love, always betrayed by the blandishments and unreliability of all natural things. Infinite love, they see clearly, is impossible unless there is an infinite reality, infinitely known and such a most lovely object. So we have the real exigency that we have also the dimensions of reality and of morality. And when we have not only the dimension and the thought that we are living in the realization of the three forms in a sort of divine dream, realization of image of God, but if we see this more from the point of view of the subject, which is not only directed to absolute knowledge, but also to absolute life, to absolute virtue, to absolute happiness, to absolute beatitude, then the real sense of all philosophy is not anymore absolute knowledge. Then the real sense of all philosophy is wisdom. And Rosmini says in the introduction to philosophy, when the two constituents of wisdom, which I said, are knowledge and virtue, are transferred from the natural to the supernatural order, they are verified and realized so sublimely that both are found to consist in a kind of contact and interchange with God himself. Perception of the world holds the place of knowledge. The Holy Spirit, living and working in the human soul, holds the place of virtue. So Rosmini, in the affirming of the virtue, in the affirming of absolute life, of absolute virtue, and not only of absolute knowledge, here is defining his very final idea, where in his work about the auto studies, where he's reflecting about the proper studies he had, comes. And he finishes with this idea of wisdom. Two words, therefore, sum up the school of God, become teacher of mankind. Truth and charity, not only truth, truth and charity, both together are wisdom. These two words mean different things, but each includes the other. The all is in each. The all is in each. This is the key to read the absolute. The absolute is in each. The all is in each. But charity is in truth as something other. And truth is in charity as something other. If either did not have the other, it would not be itself. The work of Christian wisdom consists in such charity being exercised in truth. Here we have some dimensions we just read in the encyclical Caritas in Veritate in Benedict XVI. And Rosmini says, the distinction I have made between natural incomplete truth and subsistent supernatural truth also applies in the case of charity. Look, that the same discourse we had in the theoretical field, now we have also in the practical field of charity, of virtue. It also applies in the case of charity, which corresponding to supernatural truth is distinct from natural love. So we have natural truth and supernatural truth, and we have natural love and charity with its supernatural love. I am not referring, said Rosmini, referring here to subjective natural love, which varies in kind, in form, and in custom. He does not want to take about love as emotions or as sentiments. He wants to talk as love in a moral sense, in recognition of the other. Love as recognition of the other. Charity, on the other hand, finds and possesses the final end of love, that is the triune God. And as God loves this end in himself, where he knows his practically and immediately, so he loves it in the people in whom he dwells, and in a different way in those two in whom he can dwell, that is, in all who live on earth. Consequently, the love of Christ takes on the two forms of brotherhood and humanity. And this is only a very, very strong parallel to the affirmation of Pope Francis. Of Pope Francis, who said in the encyclical Lumen Fidei, the explanation of the connection between faith and certainty put forward by the philosopher Wittgenstein. Now he is treating, and Ratzinger was writing it because he writes often on Wittgenstein, no, on the dimension we consider only the aspect of truth. For Wittgenstein, believing can be compared to the experience of falling in love, to the mere sentimental dimension of love. It is something subjective which cannot be proposed as a truth valid for everyone. Indeed, most people nowadays would not consider love as related in any way to truth. And this is a problem. This is against the Christian intuition of wisdom. Love is seen as an experience associated with the world of fleeting emotions, no longer with truth. But is this an adequate description of love? Love cannot be reduced to an ephemeral emotion, though it engages our affectivity. Truth engages our affectivity. But in order to open it to the beloved and thus to blaze a trail leading away from self-conscientiousness and towards another person, in order to build a lasting relationship, love aims at union with the beloved. Love is the relationship. Here, the same thing that Cetrus means in his theosophy. No? The love, the third form, the form of charity, is the relationship. Here we begin to see how love requires truth. Only to the extent that love is grounded in truth can it endure over time, can it transcend the passing moment and be sufficiently solid to sustain and share journey. True love, on the one hand, unifies all the elements of our person and becomes the new light pointing the way to a great and fulfilled life. Without truth, love is incapable of establishing a firm bond. It cannot liberate our isolated ego or redeem it from the fleeting moment in order to create life and bear fruit. If love needs truth, truth also needs love. Love and truth are inseparable. Without love, truth becomes cold, impersonal, and oppressive for people's day-to-day lives. So, we have the idea that the one requires the other, as we said in Rosmini. And Rosmini said, to have wisdom, to have love, we have to presuppose not only absolute knowledge. Because if we say it before, Rosmini states absolute knowledge and then charity, absolute knowledge in the dynamics of natural, supernatural, and charity in the dynamics of natural love, and natural objective love and supernatural love. then this means that we have no direct step from knowledge to love. Because in the idealists, Fichte and Hegel reduced absolute knowledge, image of God, only to knowledge. Where do we have here the love? Where do we have here the possibility for real wisdom? Only if above the knowledge we affirm reality. Because love is always an affirmation of reality. And therefore, if I don't state another truth, another light of faith, the absolute real truth above the absolute knowledge, I cannot develop love to it. And faith is the love to the absolute truth. The love to the absolute truth together with the action of divine grace, which gives in us the possibility to have a supernatural, not a natural, but a supernatural form of receiving the absolute real being. So we have in the middle the affirmation of reality. So we have a reality, morality. We are living our lives as images of God in the way, in the dynamics of wisdom, as in a divine dream. Therefore, we are living in God. Therefore, the one who is greater than the greatest, it is contained in the tiniest. Thank you for following this video lesson on Pope Francis and Rosmini.